Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us as we begin another week. And we're very honored to have in studio State Senator Tim Bearden of District 30. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Welcome. All right. From his website, and the website is Bearden for Georgia. If you don't know Tim Bearden by now, well, you should, but we're going to take care of it if you don't. And from his website, it reads, Tim Bearden has been a resident of West Georgia since moving to Harrelson County in 1975. That's a long time ago. Graduating from Bremen High School, go Blue Devils, he started his career in law enforcement with the Villarica Police Department, rising to the rank of sergeant with the motorcycle division. Did you ever have a wreck?
Unfortunately, I did, yes.
For the Douglasville Police Department, Tim now lives in Carrollton with his wife of 28 years, Triska. They have two adult kids. In 2004, Tim was elected as state rep for House District 68, encompassing parts of Carroll and Douglas counties. During Tim's service in the State House, he championed our conservative values by voting to cut taxes, protect life, and strengthen Georgia's immigration laws. Tim eventually became chairman of the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee, which was a big deal back in that time, very important, proudly advocating for the partners in law enforcement. 2011, Governor Nathan Deal appointed Tim as executive director of the Georgia Public Safety Training Center in Forsyth. And this year, when Mike Dugan resigned, a special election was held, and Tim won by 60% of the vote. How about that?
About right.
All right. Well, I'm going to kind of reference your website, BeardenForGeorgia.com, several times as we go forward. But one of the things that clearly is stated without hesitation on the website is stopping illegal immigration, supporting President Trump in the closing of the southern border, building the wall. And you did so when you were state rep. And as a law enforcement officer, you've often pointed out the danger situation we have, drug trafficking. We had a spot about fentanyl just a few moments ago, and the gangs that are coming into the state. The numbers that float around, I think consistently, and we're going to dive into this as to how illegal immigration is affecting Georgia, is that currently Georgia has 339,000 illegal aliens. And that number to me seems awful low, because that's data that's actually a few years old. How is this affecting our state, and particularly how is it affecting our school systems?
Well, you bring up some good questions. Number one, we have been told there's 11 million illegals in the country for over a decade now. Those numbers are not correct. I would safely say it's probably well over 20 million. In Georgia, I probably would agree with you, those numbers are low. So one of the things that we've got to do is we actually got to find out exactly what is occurring at the southern border. Georgia, from the Georgia State Senate side or even the State House side, we can't shut down the southern border, but we can be supportive of our president in doing so. As you mentioned, the amount of drugs coming across the southern border is unbelievable. The fentanyl that's coming across this border that's killing approximately 90 to 100,000 of our citizens every year.
Carroll that's just, County, it's about 22 a year, 24, 25.
I mean, that's just absolutely tragic, and it's, you could have someone that may have never done anything with illegal narcotics in their lives, and they take a pill thinking it's something, mm-hmm. it's laced with fentanyl, and they're dead. Mm-hmm. This is a very deadly drug. Sadly, there are a couple drugs that are right on its footsteps that's just as dangerous, if not even more deadly, that we have got to start making sure that we are keeping an eye on. I'm sure our law enforcement community and our folks in the medical and mental health community is keeping an eye on that as well. But we definitely have a problem. So if we can't shut down the border from the state level here in Georgia, what we can do is make it where it's not so inviting to come to Georgia. So I think that's where we need to look at. And when we start talking about that, there are numerous things from, we have illegals that can go to our public universities and technical schools. They just got to pay an out-of-state tuition. There's a couple schools that's researched that they're not allowed to go to, but the rest are open. We have apprenticeship programs where illegals can take advantage of. Even dual enrollment, which is basically free college for our kids and in high school. So how does it affect the state? Anything that takes away from our citizens here in Georgia, it's an effect. So, you know, we discussed in the past that we could look at several different bills to address several different areas of illegal immigration here in Georgia. I think it's important that if we maybe instead of going bill by bill, we need to look at this from a more comprehensive level. How is it affecting K through 12? How is it affecting our higher education? How does it affect our hospitals with indigent care that people may not be paying for their for the medical procedures? How does it affect crime in the state of Georgia? And how does it affect jobs? So I think we need to, instead of shooting from the hip, maybe take it, bring in the people, the professionals that have the exact numbers that can tell exactly how it's being affected, and then do a comprehensive bill that kind of covers everything. Because when you start doing a single bill here, someone else is doing a single bill, sometimes they overlap, sometimes they'll contradict each other. So having a good comprehensive look at what's going on in Georgia with illegal immigration and how it's affecting our state, I think would be a smart process to go and come out with a really good comprehensive bill to address those issues.
A little more than half the state budget is toward education.
Correct.
And that includes the University and Technical College System of Georgia, right? And then we pay a lot locally for property taxes.
Yes.
You know, we referenced that figure earlier, and as a breakdown of that figure, it says that as far as elementary school to high school, there are 19,000 that are enrolled. And again, these are old numbers and across the state. And then college age is like 16,000 that are enrolled in colleges and technical colleges across the state. Of course, they have to pay out of state tuition except for those five schools. So how do you... Public schools have to educate everybody, period. How do you see that as a challenge?
Well, that's a good question. And I read an article not too long ago, I think it was from TheGuardian.com, that came out that was saying that on average, there are 4,000 graduates that are here illegally, on average. Well, if we're looking at average, that means there's 4,000, that's juniors, that's going to be seniors graduating, and just right down the list. And when you start talking about the education process and the cost, I think it's a round number, just for easy numbers, say $10,000 a kid.
Yeah.
At 4,000 graduate, that's $40 million if that's an average, and means K through 12, there's an average for those. You're looking at nearly $500 million. That's taxpayers' dollars being used. It's going to be an effort that we're going to have to work with our school systems on. Some are going to have to also probably talk about the federal government, because I do say you got to make sure that every student period is taken care of. Now, if that's the case, there's costs in there for those that help to teach English, that English may not be their primary language. It could be English second language, teachers helping on that end. So the schools are under a lot of pressure as well. Mm-hmm. So are the taxpayers. End of the day, we got to make sure that the citizens of this state and the citizens of this country are the ones that we put first. And that's why I think it's important when we talk about schools or jobs or anything like that. And even our hospitals are under immense pressure, because they can't ask you if you're having a heart attack who can have service. You got to make sure they're treated and taken care of. So that puts a big burden on our hospitals as well. So it's a very complex issue. And I said that's why I think we need to have a in-depth, comprehensive look to exactly what's going on in this state before we just come out with multiple bills try and address these issues.
Before we go to break, I understand Georgia, an illegal alien is not allowed to get a driver's license. There are about 20 states, I think, in the country where they can.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then they're not allowed to vote in the state of Georgia because there's like a database. Is that also correct?
That's correct. And I'll preface that by saying they're not supposed to.
Right, right. Okay. Well, very good. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more with State Senator Tim Bearden from District 30 after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Raddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. So we have State Senator Tim Bearden from District 30. We're talking in the first segment about illegal immigration. We'll make one other comment, I think Senator Bearden does, of the illegal population, again referencing the stats from census, et cetera. 67% of the illegal aliens in Georgia are working. That are 16 and older, or 67%. So that's always been a big issue, is we need them to do the work that Americans won't do.
Well, let me start by saying that our country is by far the greatest country in the world. If I lived somewhere else, I'd probably want to come to America as well. But I was blessed and fortunate enough to be here my whole life. And, you know, we welcome approximately 1 million migrants a year legally in the United States. We also bring in probably another 750,000 plus legally through the H-2B program, which is your temporary non-agricultural work, your I believe it's H-1B as well. So I'm sorry, I think the there's one more I'm missing, the H-2A, which is your agricultural work. So there's so many legal processes we bring people into this country to help on, whether it be ag or non-ag. There are some fancy H-1B that you got to have a bachelor's degree and you come into this country, but there's forms that you got to fill out to make sure that you are coming to this country legally. And that's the key. Are you coming to this country legally, or are you breaking the law as soon as you step in by coming in here illegally? Mm-hmm. Our issue is with the illegal migration that we're seeing at the border, which is completely open. Again, which, as you address and I address as well, from drugs to gangs to the violent crime that we're seeing, there's people that's been killed by illegals that, if they weren't here, those individuals would still be alive and those families would not be torn apart. So I did want to just kind of touch base on those couple issues before we move forward to you.
You've always been known as a staunch advocate and defender of the Second Amendment.
Yes.
What do you see coming up, and what's the current status of the Second Amendment when we look at the Georgia General Assembly?
In Georgia, it took us years to get to constitutional carry, which we are at now. We heard several comments, and sadly, I mean, that was a tragic event that just happened up in at the school up in Winder, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a... When something like that happens, the first thing that we have to do is make sure that the people that are affected are taken care of. A lot of times when we have an event, we will hear comments that will immediately take this to a political direction. The firearms are not the problem. It's the person that has the firearm. We've got to do a better job on mental health. I think at the end of the day, we're going to see many issues were not addressed from this last tragic event that we saw. I know that, I believe the FBI met with the father a year ago. Mm-hmm. Then the father goes out and buys the kids a rifle. To me, that's not good parenting. That's there's a misconnect right there somewhere. But, you know, we have got to make sure that our schools are equipped to know if there's our issues at home. Are the school resource officers seeing what's, are they seeing the reports of domestic violence? Are they seeing reports coming in? Because those school resource officers are in the school, are in the school. So we got to make sure they're getting the information. Is the information getting passed to the leadership at the school, the administrators, if someone's having a mental issue, and have they discussed about going in and doing damage to a school or doing a shooting at a school? Been very impressed with our law enforcement response on some of these people posting these things on social media, going in and making an arrest. I mean, you got to send a message that this is not a joke. These are our kids, and we got to make sure they're safe in the environment. I know there's been a lot of money spent or sent to schools to make sure that they're secure, but at the end of the day, we got to make sure that we are all on the same page. We're protecting our schools, protecting our teachers, making sure the schools are safe, and making sure that the information is not being siloed somewhere where that information should be going to our schools and our law enforcement to make sure those schools are protected.
There are three school districts in the 180 school districts in Georgia which allow trained teachers and staff to carry weapons on the school. Correct. Is that something you're supportive of?
If a school board made that decision, I'd be supportive. That bill and law was signed in 2014, I believe. I believe there are three school districts throughout the state, as you said, out of 180. Maybe four, but I know three. That's mm-hmm. definitely allows that. There are definitely guardrails that's put in place there. But at the end of the day, we cannot allow the actions of criminals to punish law-abiding citizens. I've said that since day one when we talked about the Second Amendment, because anything that happens, that's the first thing that people, let's blame the firearm. We have laws in the book that prevents armed robberies, or that says it's against law. It happens daily. We have tons of laws on the book that gets violated. Because there's a criminal and they decide to use that particular weapon to commit their crime, if it wasn't a firearm, you have people that get stabbed. Right. You have people that can be bludgeoned. Right. So it's not the instrument. It's the person that's holding that instrument or has that instrument that's wanting and willing to do harm to a law-abiding citizen. We cannot stop, and we should not even attempt to stop a law-abiding citizen from defending themselves or their families or a third party.
Our guest this morning is State Senator Tim Bearden, District 30, BeardenForGeorgia.com. We'll have more with Senator Bearden after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Raddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're on Facebook Live, and we have in studio State Senator Tim Bearden, District 30, BeardenForGeorgia.com. All right, voters on November 5th and whoever's voting early and et cetera are going to be faced with a proposed constitutional amendment which reads, quote, shall the Constitution of Georgia be amended so as to authorize the General Assembly to provide by general law for a statewide homestead exemption that serves to limit increases in the assessed value of homesteads, but which any county, consolidated government, municipality, or local school system may opt out of upon the completion of certain procedures, unquote. Okay, what's that mean?
It means it's a short paragraph for a bill that was very long.
Yeah, it was. When I pulled it up, it was like, I don't know, 40 pages or something.
But so basically, when you get your tax bill, if we'll go back with even numbers again. So you bought a house for $100,000, they come back and your assessment's at $150,000. This means that, I won't say CPI, but it's been a rolling rate of about the last 40 years around 3%. So you cannot assess the property greater than that amount. So they may say it's assessed at 150, but they can't tax you for more than 103. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's basically property tax relief for those homeowners that pay taxes. And I assure you, when tax bills roll out, I get phone calls and I refer those back to the county. But
or the local school boards.
Local school boards, because that's the majority of right. The tax dollars. It also allows for that government to create a one-penny SPLOST. Mm-hmm. That can only be used to reduce and pay down the property tax. So on the county level, not the school board level, unfortunately.
Okay.
So if your tax bill is $4,000, $1,500 is going to the county, $2,500 to the school, that one penny could be used to pay that $1,500. And it may get all of it. There are some counties that when you look at the studies done, there are some counties that would not have a property tax portion on that county side, but everyone, of course, that did the one penny would see a reduction in that tax on the county side, not the school side.
If a county entity, school board, municipality, etc., wants to opt out, what's the procedure?
I know there are at least three public hearings that they have to have, but the first thing, look at this as dominoes, the first thing that's got to fall is what will the voters do on November 5th? I believe this will pass probably overwhelmingly.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times what you can see is you can see an assessment value, but if you don't roll back the millage rate, because of the assessment, you still get a tax hike on your property tax bill.
The taxpayer has to pay more, and they may not have the cash because they still own the asset or the property.
Correct.
And then if the property value decreases in the following years, we don't get a refund or anything.
You know, you have assessments and then you have fair market value, which are two totally different
right.
things. You and I can go look at a house and we'll come up with a different assessment.
But if my house went from 100 to 200 and then it fell back to 150, whatever I had to pay on property taxes,
Well, that's why I'm saying the fair market value is what someone's willing to pay for a house and what someone's willing to sell it for.
Right.
So if you and I own the same house or same floor plan right next door to each other, and they're both $100,000 houses, and you put yours for sale, and someone comes in and is like, I absolutely love that house. I don't want anyone else to even bid on it. I'm going to save $200,000. Well, the fair market value for your house is $200,000. If I put my house on the market, that doesn't mean I'm going to get $200,000 or my house should be appraised for $200,000.
Sure.
Because at the time I bought it, the fair market value was that $100,000. It may be a different time and someone may only offer me $98,000 or $110,000. So fair market value is the true value of someone's property. Now, if you decide to build another 1,200-foot structure with two bedrooms, of course, that's going to raise the value of your property. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this vote goes. I do believe the citizens will vote to try to make sure that their assessment stays at a rate that's at least something that they can predict. So I believe this would be a good bill for the taxpayers.
I do want to ask about Georgia and the economy, which means we'll probably need to go a little bit longer to 905. But Georgia has always been known as a pro-business state.
Correct.
Is that true? And if so, how could it be made even more of a pro-business state?
One of the things that we did this year is we lowered the state income tax for personal. We brought the corporate income tax to the same rate as personal income tax. So we lowered the corporate income tax as well. There's just no denying that Georgia is a great place to come, relocate a business, expand an existing business, which I think is very important. How can we help our business owners here? Not just so much of those that want to come to Georgia, but existing businesses as well. But you see it constantly. We're constantly adding companies to our state. If you haven't been down I-16 lately going towards Savannah, the facility being built down there is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, with the Hyundai plant going down, there's, I think, around 18 million covered square feet. It almost looks like a small city when you go down I-16. And the amount of jobs that's going to be created, not just at the facility, but those to support that facility, is just going to be, it's going to change the landscape of Southeast Georgia. So, as I said, companies coming into Georgia, companies that already made that investment in the state, expanding, it's very obvious that Georgia is a great place to come and create your business or expand your business. In the West Georgia area, District 30, we have surely everything you could ask for. I mean, we got great parks, we got great schools, we got hospitals that's right here. Unlike maybe in rural Georgia, you may be 45 miles from the mm-hmm. nearest healthcare provider.
Right.
We have a community that supports our law enforcement. It's all positives, I think, in West Georgia. So we're in a good spot. I think we're in a good spot from Harrelson County, Carroll, Douglas, and Paulden to bring in more economic development. So I think if we're all working together, pulling the same way, we can bring some things into this state that would be very positive, and also into this county and district.
To me, the most pro business environment is one where you have limited government and minimal regulation, so that we can, in the private sector, create the wealth that
yep.
government lives off of. Is state of Georgia, even though it's got, you know, Republican governor, et cetera, looking at maybe becoming government becoming too big in Georgia?
Per tax dollar, we're probably one of the best states in spending, especially when it comes per capita. Are there some things that we can cut back on? I think that's a safe bet to say yes. There are essentials that's got to be there.
We started out talking about education being, you know, 52% of the entire state budget. Are we getting our dollars worth?
I think it depends on where you are. Out here in this area, I think we do a great job with education. There's no doubt in some areas of the state why you saw. I know we said it was a school choice bill that we passed, but it was kind of a school choice light. But what we did with that bill will help some parents and their kids in certain areas that are in failing schools. The great thing about it, I make this comparison a lot of times, you know, with the Second Amendment, we started in 2008. Was it constitutional carry? No. At the time, was it the biggest Second Amendment reform bill ever done in Georgia's history? Yes. Mm-hmm. And we was able to gauge what happened every couple of years and showing that what everyone was screaming about did not come to fruition. So I think when you look at things like the school choice bill that we passed, the CON bill that we passed, these are things that's been on the table from when I was elected back in 2004. And then now they're just now getting passed. But we'll be able to look at these things a couple of years out, and it's like, okay, are they making a good difference in the state? If so, let's take another step and expand it a little bit further. If it's not, we can step back from it. But I think on those things that we pass, I think we will see positives. And I think that those are areas that we can take positive steps forward. And as I said, we in District 30, I think we're blessed. We have great infrastructure. And when we talk about infrastructure, we're talking about everything from education to law enforcement.
Do you worry about your district in West Georgia becoming overrun by Metro?
You know, we're seeing a migration out of Metro into more rural counties.
People want to move out here.
You know, we're seeing, when I was working for the speaker and running the Rural Development Council, we always talked about how do we try to make sure people don't leave rural Georgia to come to Metro. Now we're kind of seeing a migration from the metropolitan areas to those rural areas. It's kind of like a revitalization, but just a little bit different. People just want to get 5 acres of land or have a horse farm or something like that. So it's coming. There's no doubt about it. We see it. We see how things change from here looking out towards Atlanta. So, you know, that's just part of living in a state, I think, that does a good job to create opportunity.
We have a tradition that in the final moments of the show, we ask each candidate to give us a 60-second elevator pitch. You knock on someone's door, the husband says, yeah, and the wife says, you got 60 seconds and shut that door. So you got 60 seconds. Why should we vote for Tim Bearden for District 30?
I'll put it this way. If the people of District 68 elected me back in 2004, I do not make any secrets to where I stand on issues, whether it be end-of-life issues, the Second Amendment, property rights. I mean, we wrote the bill back in 2008 that exempted seniors 65 and older from having to pay the school tax in Carroll County. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting anything new, but if we want to make sure that Senate District 30 keeps a conservative voice that continues to work for the values that we believe in, which is making sure our families have a safe place to go to school, making sure we have good place to go to work, and just a great place to live, I would ask for your vote and to continue to keep District 30 red. And I said, you can visit my website, beardenforgeorgia.com. I'm very well accessible. I said, we've been in this area for a long time, and we're looking forward to continue to support and represent District 30 the best we can at the state capitol.
Our thanks this morning to State Senator Tim Bearden, representing District 30, for coming in this morning. We thank you for listening. Most of all, we thank our sponsors, Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.